Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I always want to start the show by thanking you for being the most amazing community that ever communitied. We exist solely because you are awesome. You have given us such good feedback. You've shown the love. Keep subscribing, rating, reviewing, commenting, and engaging in the community on the YouTube channel, on the Facebook page, on the Facebook group, growmycleaningcompany.com. We love you. This show exists solely because you are there and you are showing out the love. You guys are amazing. Today, we are chatting with Curtis Stamp from Dusk Till Dawn Commercial Cleaning. Dusk Till Dawn has been serving the downtown Toronto, Canada area with commercial cleaning services for 7 years. If you'd like to reach out to Curtis and his team, you can hold them at www.dusktilldawn.ca. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
I don't think you are our first Canadian by a long shot, but you very well may be our first. Is it Torontoian? I don't even think that's a word.
Yes.
It is? That's impossible.
It is Toronto. Yes, sir.
Well, but what do you call people that are from Toronto? Can't be Torontoians.
Torontonians.
Torontonians. You could have given me 20 guesses. I wouldn't have got it.
Yes.
You may be the first Torontonian that I've offended within the first minute and a half of speaking. So welcome to the show, brother. Tell us a little bit how you got into the cleaning business. Go ahead.
Okay. Just so you know, if you know anything about Canadians, we're supposed to be super polite, so you could never offend us.
My one Canadian joke that I heard from my Canadian buddy was, how do you get 100 Canadians out of the pool? And you say, what? And he goes, Canadians, out of the pool. Supposedly everyone just gets out because they... So I don't know if that's awful or terrible, but now it's out there in the universe. Thanks to Chris Duchinski was my buddy that gave me that. All right. Enough nonsense about Canadians and pools and awful jokes. Tell us about you, man. How'd you get in the business?
All right. So I'm early 30s and kind of stumbled across the business somewhat by mistake. I grew up, my father was the property manager / superintendent of some buildings downtown, and I was always around there earning some extra money. And long story short is I was working for an architect firm one summer as an admin assistant, and I was always hearing the lady complaining about the lack of attention the cleaners were paying to the job, and they were a high-end client, and I was doing some of the mailing, and I saw some of the checks that were going out, and I realized, you know, that's a lot more than I'm making, and they're doing it in a lot shorter amount of time. And I really didn't like working 9 to 5 for someone. And so I approached the owners, which I became pretty respected by, because I was a hard worker and always doing above what they asked for me, and basically asked them if I could quit working for them and then resume working for them as their cleaning contractor. And they were more than thrilled to allow me to do that. And then the adventure began.
That's a great story. I love that. And I love that you kind of had the wherewithal to go, well, these people already know, like, and trust me. Why don't we kind of leverage that into some sort of positive happening in my life? And these just went and got it. And they're like, hey, can I quit? And can I quit working for you and start working for you? Yes and yes. Begin. Love it. So what's going on 7 years later? Where you at? You have a bunch of employees. You still doing some of the cleaning yourself? What kind of scale are we talking?
So very rarely do I do the cleaning myself. Still, sometimes the odd time I'll pop in and just touch something up if I'm chatting with an employee. I still like just to do that once in a blue moon, but I don't really at all do any of the cleaning. It's more just kind of tinkering around while I'm chatting with someone, just because, I don't know, I guess it's still in my system to do that. But I have about 15 employees mixed in with some subcontractors, and operate about 6 days a week, and cover a lot of square footage, I think, for the size of our team, and, really target clients that want to pay for a high quality service, and have been slowly dropping off some of the ones from the beginning. There's only maybe one or two very, very small contracts remaining. And so basically what I'm looking to do now is I get a couple leads a week for, you know, 1 to 2 cleanings a week. I'm looking to learn how to, or get some strategies on how to attract clients that are at least minimum 15,000 square feet and are looking for 5 days a week, because I feel like that's a healthier profit margin for me, from my experience in the city, and I want to learn how to attract more of that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just from a personal note or kind of personal perspective, I agree. That is probably my favorite. If I had to go start a janitorial business today, I'd be all over the 5 days a week. I wouldn't do it by square footage, although it's kind of same thing. 5 days a week, kind of at 2 to 3 man crew, 2 to 5 hours a night, which certainly the 15,000 square foot would fall into.
Exactly.
And that's all I would chase, period. I'm not saying I wouldn't accept other work, but that's all I would spend any time or money doing. And I probably wouldn't accept anything less than $1,000 a month. Just my 2 cents, unless it was,
yeah,
that's that. Okay, so A, I love, first, there's a couple things you're doing right, and let's help take that to the next level. First of all, I love that you're identifying there's a very big difference between this client and that client. This client probably takes similar amount of work to sell or close or get in contact with or become make a client as that one, but this one makes $12,000 a month, and this one makes $1,200 a month, and why not invest our time where we're going to get the return? So I like that. Second, I like that you're doing a niche in terms of, if I try to sell to everybody, I will sell to nobody. But if I am the best in the world at selling to this specific group of humans, I can own that, right? Maybe people could compete with me on price or on this or on that, but they're not going to be able to compete with me at this, you know, in Toronto with these specific, you know, this specific criteria, because I'm going to know them and their pain and what they're looking for better than anyone else. So all that's right. Let's just talk about how to kind of kick it into high gear. First and foremost, I like that you identified this is who I want. 5 days a week, 15,000 square feet or more. And I'd probably hit a top end, right? 15,000 to 100,000, or not that you won't accept bigger than that or bid on bigger than that, but that's not who you're going to chase. So above 15,000, you know, that could be an airport, which would be 7 nights a week and 1 million square feet. And that may not be free. Maybe it is, but I'd still tighten that up a little. And is it 5 to 7 days or just 5 days? I'm okay either way, but I would be that specific.
So what I'm finding just from my experience is when people want 7 days a week, one, obviously I need to get my crew off for the weekend, then I got to go hire someone else for the weekend. So I'm finding those are kind of a bit of a pain in the butt, to be honest. So preferably in a perfect world would just be 5 days a week.
Well, the beautiful thing is this is who you're chasing, not who you're accepting. So this is a perfect world. You are going to decide, I'm only going to pursue these people. If other people show up at the door, that's between you and God as to whether you're going to accept them or not. But you're not going, so you're not chasing 5 to 7 day a week accounts. You're chasing 5 to 5 day a week accounts, 15 to 100,000 square feet or 50 or two, whatever you want. But I would just tighten that up. But you're really good. You're 92% of the way there. I would just tighten it up on the top end, right? Minimum 5 days, 15,000 square feet.
Okay.
Hit me with maximums or hit yourself with maximums on both and you're good. That said, once you've got that, that's good for what you want as a company. But I say all the time, people do not buy when you are ready to sell. They buy when they're ready to buy. The same thing goes with, they don't buy how you want them to buy. They buy how they want them to buy. So buildings do not buy anything. Companies do not buy anything. Only humans within companies buy things. Sometimes, very rarely, there'll be a board or a group of people that make the decision. But in reality, one person really makes the decision typically in that instance. So long story short, we're not selling to 15,000 square foot, 5 day a week buildings. We're selling to people that manage or have the decision-making capability for those buildings. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
The reason we bring that up is you're like, well, how do I do that? Well, it depends. Some of those are going to be property managers, right? I would say property managers have a lot of those. Well, the property managers, the way you're going to sell to them, where you're going to sell to them, the verbiage you're going to use to sell to them, the offers that you're going to make to them, the sales process is going to be very different than the guy that owns a 20,000 square foot building and needs maybe he's a lawyer, doctor that runs a practice. Maybe that's the second type of person that you're going to look at. He has a very different pain than the other guy. If you try and give them the same message, you're going to have a bad time, right? Just because they both manage the same size building does not mean they have the same pain. And if you try and market to them same, that will be costly. The third piece is going to be somewhere in the middle. So at one end is the owner of the building who makes all the decisions, and that's that. And he's going to be your better one because he's going to understand the value that you bring, a lot easier to show value proposition over lower price. At the other end of the spectrum is a property manager. He owns nothing. He has 100 of these customers. He's a lot harder to get value in because it's not his building. He just wants to go to the owner and go, look at me, I saved 5% on a cleaning bill, or whatever the case may be. In the middle is going to be a on-site facility or property manager, right? Like it's a medical office, there's 10 docs, they all own it, or some other one owns it, but there's an operations manager or office manager that makes that decision. She's more vested than a property manager would be because she's just got this one property, but she's not going to look at quite as much as a guy that owns the building and understands maintaining this building is of utmost paramount experience. So do you see within that one building type, you've got three kind of verticals that you would consider speaking to?
Yeah.
Okay. I would pick one. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you just re-ask that question?
I would pick one. So there's three people you could sell to within that same, because you're like 5 days a week, 15,000 square feet. I'm like, okay, let's be even more specific. Are you talking about the owner of the building?
Yeah.
The in-house property manager who's on staff and just has that one building that they do, and that's probably one of many tasks that they have, or a vendor that's a property manager that they have 100 property managers and that's all they do. Which of those would you like to sell to? Because they're all going to be different processes.
Yeah, so I think... for me would be more of the office manager type person to get in front of.
Okay. So again, I'm not saying you won't accept other people, but I would start with saying, all right, I'm going to do the office manager. So now we've gotten, and this is just for the money and time you're going to spend trying to attract them. People that just wander up, we don't care, we'll take them. But we're only going to spend money trying to attract managers, in-house management of 5 day a week, 15,000 square foot or more accounts. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to go one more step, and I promise then we'll get to it. You're like, how often is he going to keep telling me to be more specific? But that's how important this is, because the success of everything is going to be how well you know that audience. And the more diverse the audience is, if my audience is 60-year-old white guys and 12-year-old Asians and, you know, 25-year-old married chicks with two kids, they're all different messages. So if I try to be like, it's easier, it's the lazy man's way, as well, I'll just give one generic message to everyone, that's fine, but it's not effective. So within the...
Yeah.
Office managers of a 15,000 square foot, 5 day a week building, there are different types of those, right? Medical facilities are probably going to be a large piece.
Yeah.
Lawyers might be a large piece. Warehouses might be a large piece. Manufacturing facilities might be a piece. Car dealerships might be a piece. Within that, I would pick, because again, the manager of a car dealership is a very different human being with very different pains and needs than the manager of a medical facility, than the manager of a warehouse. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So the third step is to identify, or really the third step within the first step is identify. Now you know what type of building you're looking for. You know what type of position they hold. The last thing is what company do they hold that position for? I don't want to answer that now, but that's something that you can do. Why don't you just pick one randomly that we can use as an example for now?
Okay. Well, I could follow so many different types of companies, but specifically office cleaning, not warehouses or car dealerships or anything like that. So specifically office cleaning.
I would go non-medical, professional, class A office space. So we're not talking no gyms, no restaurants, no car dealerships, no warehouses, no medical facilities, just insurance agencies or whatever. But I'm just a freaking office building. That's all I do. You have to stay away probably from skyscrapers or high rises. Okay. You want to stay away from high rises because almost always those are owned by a property manager because it's a owner consortium. They're too big to have an owner, right? That's not how it is. So now we've really gotten specific in terms of, class A office space that is actual office space. So lawyers would count. Banks would count, I would assume. You'd have to decide if banks are in or out. But it'd probably be lawyers, insurance agencies, things like that.
Architect firms, etc.
Yes. Perfect. So now start assimilating what their specific pain is. Like with the property managers, part of the reason you got in is you knew their pain better than the people that were selling to them. So you were able to go, gosh, I see you guys seem very frustrated with this and you seem frustrated with A, B, and C. Would it be okay if I came in and solved A, B, and C? I mean, you kind of stumbled onto the formula inadvertently, but nevertheless you did. So that would be the first step, is understand their pain. Just like find a way that you can recreate that situation of you kind of being in the back end of these people talking about their frustrations with their cleaning company and then offer to solve it. I hate to make it sound that simple, but once you know your audience, it really is that simple, is understand who they are, what their pain is, and where they go to solve that pain. Once you have that, then you just go to that place that they go to solve their pain with a message that speaks to that pain and repeat. It really is that simple. So for... banks, we'll just use that. I promise you, banks have associations, and you'd probably be the only cleaning company if you went to one of those association meetings and had a booth or spoke or handed out flyers or whatever the case may be. They also, just trying to think of where bankers would go. There are certain blogs that they read and subscribe to, as with podcasts. That's why this podcast is so popular, or I shouldn't say popular, powerful, is if you don't own a cleaning company, not interested. But for people looking to contact people to own cleaning companies, this is very specific. So even though it's a small podcast, it's a very targeted audience. So the more target your audience is, the better you can communicate to them. And you might be the only one in there, right? If you find a podcast out there that is selling only to banks or communicating only with banks, and you said, can I be your sponsor? They probably got, you know, 50,000 listeners or some tiny amount. And again, that my podcast is a bad example because it's global and you're only looking for Toronto. But just conceptually, do you see how if you went to the New York Times or the Toronto Times or whatever the big paper is, it'd be a ton of money. But if you went to some little podcast that happened to be Toronto Banking, you could get a, you could sponsor that for nothing, but there'd be all of your customers gathered in one little place. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Good thought. Absolutely.
So the steps are, and people want to cheat on step one, which is really understand who your customer is. That's why we spend 80% of the time on that. Because once you've got that, the 20% is easy. Once you understand who they are, get their pain, find out where they go to solve it, and present a solution for that pain at that place. That's really it. Mm-hmm. Before we hit the lightning round, any questions, comments, or thoughts that you need tied up before we move on?
No, not really, actually.
Cool.
No, I'd have to say no.
Good. That means I did my job. All right. Enough of me yippering and yapping. Let's turn you on and give you the opportunity to share your experience with Cleaning Nation. We're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you three quick questions. I have full faith and confidence. We will receive three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice I've ever received. I guess that's a tough one. We're saying related to the cleaning industry in general.
I'll leave it up to you. You can in business or out of business. Just the best piece of advice in your 30 some years on this earth.
Okay. Basically, just don't be anything that you're not, and just be myself, and always tell the truth. That way, you never have to really remember what you said.
That's two pieces, but they're both good enough. We're going to let it slide. Always be you and tell the truth. Love it.
Thanks.
Well, and they're related too. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? Maybe we can learn from and save ourselves a headache.
Absolutely was just, hiring people just because they were breathing, when I first started, and not doing my due diligence and doing more of the talking in the interview than the person I was interviewing, and trying to be friends with them. So, not keeping it professional and just not taking my time with interviews was a huge mistake. It caused me a lot of headaches.
I call that the warm body syndrome, when you're looking across the desk at somebody that you know is not the right guy or gal, but they're there and they're breathing and they will say yes. So, easier said than done to get out of that. You said something that was really good that I want to restate just in case people missed it. Talking more during the interview than you listen. We get so caught up in selling our job and us and how amazing we are and all that sort of nonsense. If you want to be right and happy, do that. If you want to be rich, shut up and listen. So it took me a long time to learn that, and I'm still learning it on the podcast, obviously. Question number three, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away to improve their lives and or their business in some small way?
I think just letting my staff or your staff or their staff know that you appreciate them, thanking them and letting them know that you're in their corner, because, I know without my crew and without the relationships I've built with my crew, my present crews, I wouldn't be able to have the business that I have. And they are the absolute backbone of the company.
Curtis,
it's very important for me to let them know they're important.
You are 3 for 3 in the lightning round. I liked every answer better than the last. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Curtis's show notes page and all the cool stuff waiting for you to grow your cleaning company, it is all at growmycleaningcompany.com. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.